But Sunny, instead of going into a classroom, had to work in the administrative building, and I must say that her situation was perhaps the worst in the entire triptych. As Vice Principal Nero's secretary, Sunny had numerous duties assigned to her that were simply impossible for a baby to perform. For instance, she was in charge of answering the telephone, but people who called Vice Principal Nero did not always know that "Saltipia!" was Sunny's way of saying, "Good morning, this is Vice Principal Nero's office, how may I help you?" By the second day, Nero was furious at her for confusing so many of his business associates. In addition, Sunny was in charge of typing, stapling, and mailing all of Vice Principal Nero's letters, which meant she had to work a typewriter, a stapler, and stamps, all of which were designed for adult use. Unlike many babies, Sunny had some experience in hard work. After all, she and her siblings had worked for some time at the Lucky Smells lumber mill, but this equipment was simply inappropriate for such tiny fingers. Sunny could scarcely move the typewriter's keys, and even when she could, she did not know how to spell most of the words Nero dictated. She had never used a stapler before, so she sometimes stapled her fingers by mistake, which hurt quite a bit. And occasionally, one of the stamps would stick to her tongue and wouldn't come off. In most schools, no matter how miserable, the students have a chance to recuperate during the weekend, when they can rest and play instead of attending wretched classes. And the Baudelaire orphans look forward to taking a break from looking at bananas, rulers, and secretarial supplies. So they were quite distressed one Friday when the Quagmires informed them that Prufrock Prep did not have weekends. Saturday and Sunday were regular school days, supposedly in keeping with the school's motto. This rule did not really make any sense. It is, after all, just as easy to remember you will die when you are relaxing as when you are in school. But that was the way things were. So the Baudelaires could never remember exactly what day it was, so repetitive was their schedule. So I am sorry to say that I cannot tell you what day it was when Sunny noticed that the staple supply was running low, but I can tell you that Nero informed her that because she had wasted so much time learning to be a secretary, he would not buy any more when they ran out. Instead, Sunny would have to make staples herself, out of some skinny metal rods Nero kept in a drawer. "That's ridiculous!" Violet cried when Sunny told her of Nero's latest demand. It was after dinner, and the Baudelaire orphans were in the orphan shack with the Quagmire triplets, sprinkling salt at the ceiling. Violet had found some pieces of metal behind the cafeteria and had fashioned 5 pairs of noisy shoes, 3 for the Baudelaires and 2 for the Quagmires so the crabs wouldn't bother them when they visited the orphan shack. The problem of the tan fungus, however, was yet to be solved. With Duncan's help, Klaus had found a book on fungus in the library, and read that salt might make this particular fungus shrivel up. The Quagmires had distracted some of the masked cafeteria workers by dropping their trays on the ground, and while Nero yelled at them for making a mess, the Baudelaires had slipped 3 salt shakers into their pockets. Now, in the brief recess after dinner, the 5 children were sitting on bales of hay, trying to toss salt onto the fungus, and talking about their day. "It certainly is ridiculous," Klaus agreed. "It's silly enough that Sunny has to be a secretary, but making her own staples? I've never heard of anything so unfair." "I think staples are made in factories," Duncan said, pausing to flip through his green notebook to see if he had any notes on the matter. "I don't think people have made staples by hand since the 15th century." "If you could snitch some of the skinny metal rods, Sunny," Isadora said, "we could all help make the staples after dinner time. If 5 of us worked together, it would be much less trouble." "And speaking of trouble, I'm working on a poem about Count Olaf, but I'm not sure I know words that are terrible enough to describe him." "And I imagine it's difficult to find words that rhyme with Olaf," Violet said. "It is difficult," Isadora admitted. "All I can think of so far is pilaf, which is a kind of rice dish, and that's more of a half-rhyme anyway." "Maybe someday you'll be able to publish your poem about Count Olaf," Klaus said, "and everyone will know how horrible he is." "And I'll write a newspaper article all about him," Duncan volunteered. "I think I could build a printing press myself," Violet said. "Maybe when I come of age, I can use some of the Baudelaire fortune to buy the materials I would need."
"Could we print books, too?" Klaus asked.
Violet smiled. She knew her brother was thinking of a whole library they could print for themselves. "Books, too," she said.